Welcome, everyone, to the Madly Chasing Peace radio show with Dina Proctor. I'm a life coach, speaker, creator of 3x3 meditation, and author of the best-selling book, Madly Chasing Peace, How I Went From Hell to Happy in 9 Minutes a Day. I love helping people transform their lives and find peace and happiness 3 minutes at a time. My passion for this show is asking my guests to share their stories of inspiration and success and the importance of mindset and emotion in creating a life of wellness, healing, abundance, and balance. You can learn more about me and my journey on my website, which is madlychasingpeace.com. And today joining me is a really spunky, energetic, wise lady that we've got a little treat for everybody listening in today. So her name is Kathy Archer. Let me share her bio with you, and then we'll bring her on, and she can share a little bit about herself and her story and her wisdom. So Kathy Archer is a leadership development coach who's on a mission to change the leadership experience for women. She engages women in their own leadership training and personal development so they can confidently step into more balance while authentically leading their team. Kathy spent 25 years in organizations, many of those years in leadership positions. At the same time, she was raising 4 children and working on her management degree. As many women also experience, Kathy was challenged with work-life balance, depression, body image, and self-confidence while doing it all. It was Kathy's training as a life coach that brought her to be able to find her peace and balance in life and leadership. She now shares her passion for helping others live to be the best that they can be. Kathy's a natural leader, sees the best in people, is quick to pick up their strengths, and is always pushing for excellence. She holds the distinction of Associate Certified Coach from the International Coaching Federation, and she's certified in the Leadership Circle Assessments and has her own coaching practice, Silver River Coaching, providing coaching training for organizations and communities. So you can learn more about Kathy and her work on her website, which is silverrivercoaching.com. Kathy, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
Thanks, Dina. I'm excited too.
I think we'll have a really fun show. I love your energy and the message and your experience that you kind of bring to it. I think it'll be really uplifting and inspiring for listeners. So let me turn it over to you and just have you share a little bit about yourself, how you got started on your path, and some of the obstacles you've overcome over the years throughout your life.
Thank you, Dina. Well, I think, my bio kind of gives a little bit of that history in terms of, I spent many, many years in organizations, and many of those years as leaders, and just, those challenges and those struggles of trying to raise a family, trying to do well in your leadership role, not always doing all of that at the best of my abilities. Well, I guess at the best of my abilities at the time, but not as well as I wanted to be doing it. I didn't always feel as well-rounded and as balanced and struggled to find that place of peace, throughout my day, or even little snippets of peace or that content feeling or fulfilled feeling at the end of the day. And so, as I went along this journey, it was interesting. I was just reading some old journals just the other day, and, some of the things I said about, just basically surviving, trying to make it through the day and, wondering when I would ever get a moment's peace and never being able to find that. And a few years ago, I was, I remember vividly getting up one morning at 2:00 in the morning. We were working on some big proposals at work. We were doing some things that were going on that I hadn't yet had time to get to. And I'd already spent, many evenings in the office, many weekends. I was working between, 60 to 70 hours a week trying to kind of get it all done during this span of time. So I got up at 2:00 in the morning, made a pot of coffee, grabbed my laptop and got to work. And I went back to bed for an hour after getting all of my stuff done. And I remember, part of me was going, yay, I did it. I've proved to the world once again that I can do it all. And the other part of me was going, I don't think this is how I want to live the rest of my life. Those challenges of never really being there for the kids, never really having a conversation with my husband other than logistics, you know, who's picking the kids up, what are we having for supper, and you know, just feeling frazzled. And so as luck would have it, I was introduced to coaching, and I started getting some coaching on this, and, you know, I knew that it was time for a change. And so I resigned my management position, and I moved into a part-time tech role of all things with the company while I finished my coach training and certification and while I started my program. And, you know, that was 4 years ago. Now, four kids, I now have a grandchild, I now work at home, I have the same interruptions that I had, my desk is still piled with projects and things I want to work on and inboxes that's full. And yet I love what I do. I found a way to enjoy my work and connect with it passionately. At the same time, like I say, I still have this busy, full life, but there are more moments that I feel the joy and the fulfillment than I did before. And I think part of that is because I've spent a lot of my time now learning to slow down, learning to reflect, learning to connect with who I am, and doing the same with people around me. And that's made a huge difference in my day-to-day world. Do I still feel crazy and stressed, and do I, you know, cry sometimes and you know, want to pull my hair out? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I know that I have much more full life than I did 4 years ago. That's kind of my story.
Yeah, and I mean, I just feel like so many people listening in are probably relating to either feeling the same way too, or maybe even feeling like, oh my gosh, I know what it feels like to not love what you do, and you just had so much almost kind of courage to leave the familiar and the stable in order to pursue something that you knew would make you so much happier.
You know, I was at the same organization for over 19 years. I left the position that where I was set for life. You know, my trajectory was well laid out. I, you know, the money was good, the benefits were good, had great holidays. Did it take a lot of courage? Oh my God, yes. And does it still take courage every day? Without a doubt. But the rewards are worth it.
Totally. And, you know, just the success that you've gained today are obviously following your passion and your path and helping so many people along the way. I remember when we had first chatted, Kathy, you had mentioned that there were four key messages that are essential for you and the way that you keep yourself, you know, kind of in integrity with your path. And then also you share those key messages with the people that you coach so that they can help create, you know, stable, happier, more grounded, productive lives. So could you walk us through what those key messages are and a little bit of detail about each?
Yeah, sure. So the four messages are: lead your way, lead with purpose, lead with your heart, and lead with self-reflection. And it's taken me sort of time to distill those, but as I've worked through many, many women that I've worked with, many leaders, many organizations, and my own inner work, these really sort of lay the foundation for the work that I do. So the first one, lead with your way. You know, I think we spend a lot of time in our lives trying to conform. We spend a lot of time trying to fit in from the time we're, you know, 16 or 17 and dyeing our hair pink to when we sit at a boardroom meeting and we just nod our heads in agreement, even though our heart is saying, oh, you know, I don't agree with that, or that's not the way I want to do it. And so even for women, I do a lot of work with women, and I think we try and lead the same way men lead. And this isn't about a right or a wrong way, but what's our way? You know, how do we lead? And in order to lead with integrity and that authentic way, we really need to figure out who we are. We need to figure out our personality, our style. What training you've had is part of that. What experiences you've had is part of that. One of the things that I just recently learned about myself is that I'm a highly sensitive person, an HSP. I never would have identified with that before, but the more that I've gone, wow, you know, after a full day of training in an organization, and, you know, I come home at the end of the day, and my husband wants to talk to me and visit, and my daughter wants to have this conversation, and I'm, like, pulling back going, whoa, too much, you know, in one day. That's a huge awareness for me. And I know that when I was in an organization, I used to, you know, shut the door and feel guilty about that when I'd shut the door to my office. What I now know is that's who I am. I have this amount of energy that I can put out there, but I also can only take so much stimulus in one day. And I need to kind of shut that off. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we need to kind of get a sense of who we are. Some people are really outgoing and, you know, just love being around people. Other people, not so much. Some of us are very intelligent, and that intelligence sort of oozes out. And yet somewhere along the way, somebody said, oh, stop being such a smarty pants. And so what do? We pull back. You know, we basically dumb it down because we don't want somebody to think we're too smart. Leading with our heart, you know, I'm a very emotional person, and yet many times I've pushed that emotion down, and I've learned, no, that's who I am. You know, I don't want to not be that. So I think some of the things that give people clues in their lives are especially in leadership roles, we tend to do a lot of things. We do things like Myers-Briggs or True Colors or Strengths Finders. I do a tool called the Leadership Circle Tool. You know, there's all of these things that we do, and we fill them out, and we get the results back, or we do 360s or performance appraisals, and then we shove them in a desk drawer, and we forget about them. Right? There's actually a lot of clues there. And the more you take some time to kind of get to know who you really are and start leading authentically, the more you'll enjoy what you do and the more people around you will actually enjoy it as well. So that's great. Lead your way.
Lead your way, yeah. This is great, Kathy, and you're touching on a couple of important things. One is honoring your kind of higher guidance, you know, where it may look, to, for example, like, I don't know if this happened for you, but I know it happened for me, that when I was going to quit my day job, people close to me were like, you know, maybe you shouldn't, this, you know, you're good at what you do, stay stable, all those things. Yeah. So we may have well-meaning people outside of us that are very close to us who can't hear that voice of inner guidance, and then we get stuck because we think, oh my gosh, they know what's best for me, they love me, maybe I should listen to what they say rather than my intuition. So I'm wondering if you could break that down a little bit and also talk about the role of self-care and being able to shut the door when you need to, knowing you're not closing yourself off from people permanently, but that you need to take this time to nurture and regroup.
Yeah, I do a lot of work with people around time management and that self-care piece, and I think that we spend a lot of time, again, following the pack, doing what we're supposed to do. I mean, they taught you how to multitask years ago. Please stop multitasking. Anybody who's out there that's still doing it, it's not the best way. And when we can, you know, really connect with who we are, really identify what our needs are, we can do things much better. You know, I talk with people about taking a moment to stretch during your day, taking a moment to take 3 deep breaths. And there's this embarrassment. God, what if somebody walks by my office and sees me, you know, bending over or, you know, leaning over the side of my chair? And I used to have a yoga mat in my office, and people, you know, I'd pull it out at lunchtime, and people, you know, open the door almost without even knocking, and they'd stop and see me there, and they'd be like, oh, sorry. It's like, you know, don't be sorry that I'm doing yoga. Be sorry that you interrupted my time, you know, because we're embarrassed to admit to the world that we need to renew, that we need to regroup, that we need to slow things down. And I think it's really, really important to do that. And, you know, I'll jump into the lead with your heart for a minute, because I think this is, you know, when we were talking about intuition, lead with your heart for me means, you know, following your passion and your energy. When, you know, when you're doing something and you get pumped and you get excited and you feel that, you know, movement in your body, follow that. You know, it's the follow your bliss thing that Joseph Campbell talks about. When that's there, you're on the right path, and you know that. And I think that's where you've got to learn to trust your gut. You've got to learn to trust intuition. When you're feeling that need to shut your door, do it. You know, you don't need to do it in that sort of bitchy way where you slam the door and say, everybody get out of here, I have had enough of you all. But you can gently say, you know what, I need some time to myself for 10 minutes. You know, you're not even saying an hour. You're just saying 10 minutes, I need some time. Can everybody just, you know, respect that for a few minutes? I now have to really do that. I have a home office. And, you know, I was talking to my husband the other day. It's no different for me in my home office now where I have kids and husbands and dogs that interrupt me than it was when I was in the office. And there's times that I just have to say, no, you know, I'm still working or I need time to myself. Or one of the things that I do quite often, and I don't think I did enough in the workplace, was put some headphones on. You know, I'll put some music on in the background that will help me work and keep the distractions at bay. And it's not only the signal to my own inner self to it's time to get focused and work on this, it's also the signal to the external world that, oh, she's busy, don't interrupt her, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So the other part about leading with your heart is the compassion. You know, I spend a lot of time working on perspectives with people, seeing things from a different way. Right now I'm working on a little ebook called, you know, How to Tell Your Boss No. And part of it is going, okay, what is my boss going through? You know, what's their challenges and their struggles? Because if I can come at it compassionately and say, you know, I hear there's a deadline looming and I hear the pressure that you're getting from senior management. And yet, if you're then able to sort of set your boundaries and say, but I'm not willing to put more hours in this week, you start it with the compassion piece. And I think it's really going to change the conversation that you have with somebody when you lead with your heart. Not lead with your heart like blubbery, like, ah! But lead with your heart in terms of the passion and the purpose that's there. And I think that's really important. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, to handle yourself, use your head. But to handle others, use your heart. And I think when we can do that, it makes a world of difference.
Yeah, really powerful. And I like that you're talking about compassion, too, just kind of putting yourself in another person's shoes or maybe just seeing it from a bigger perspective of maybe I'm not seeing the whole picture of what's going on here, you know? Yeah, I really like that, Kathy. I really like that. Did we cover everything with the, I don't want to move on from lead with your heart if we missed any part of it before we listen to the other two?
No, I think, you know, like I say, trust your gut. Intuition is vital. We spend so much time ignoring our body signals, whether I'm hungry, whether I need to stretch, whether this isn't a good decision to make, regardless of what your head tells you. Trust your gut. You know, I look back at my own parenting, and if I'd trusted my gut more, I might have made some different decisions parenting-wise. When I look at, you know, financial decisions I've made, trusting my gut is often one of the best ways to go. In leadership, we somehow think that it needs to be logical and make sense. And the truth of the matter is, much of what we need to do is trust your gut. When you're hiring people, when you're making decisions, when, you know, you are scheduling a day or developing a program, trust your gut. It will give you so much wisdom. So, yeah, I think we covered lead with your heart.
Beautifully said. Beautiful. Let's hear about the other two. These are awesome, Kathy.
Lead with purpose. I don't know that in organizations we spend a lot of time talking about what's my core purpose. Why am I here? What am I meant to do? Simon Sinek talks about your why. You know, what's my why? What's the point? Why bother? And when we can sort of stop and slow down and really connect with, you know, why am I here? You know, my big why is about connections. I believe we all must be passionately connected to who we are and what we stand for and what we believe in. But that from that base of knowing our own why, our own purpose, that we can then connect to our family and our friends and our organizations and our community and the bigger world. But we have to start with first connecting to ourselves. So I need to know what my purpose is. I need to know why I'm here. And to some degree, we need to have those conversations in organizations as well. We you know, do these vision statements for organizations. You know, this is my vision and mission, but how well does that align with your own vision and mission? You know, how connected are you to what you're doing? And the next step to that is then being really intentional. You know, so if that's your purpose, if that's your why, the reason you're doing this, then you need to intentionally move towards that. You need to connect to that. It's like saying to the universe, you know, One of my big dreams in life is to have a cabin. You know, I throw it out there. I want a cabin, but do nothing to move towards it. You know, like I haven't made money. I haven't started looking at where I would like to, you know, own one. I haven't decided on the layout of it. I'm never going to get there if I don't actually intentionally think about it, design it, plan it, build it. And it's the same in our relationships. You know, what's the vision I have for my relationship with my team? Or with the clients that I serve. I need to prepare for that. And then the other piece to leading with purpose is, what's the legacy you want to leave behind? We often don't talk about legacy till we're older. And the truth is, we need to start talking about legacy very early on. You know, we've spent a lot of time in the world now talking about our environmental footprint. What about my own footprint on the people around me? You know, what's the impact I'm leaving? When I, you know, leave this organization or these people move on to different positions, how are they changed as a result of coming in contact with me? You know, what is it that I want them to do? And for me, I know one of the biggest things, you know, and you touched on this earlier, I think, Dina, I want people to become more mindful. If nothing else, by people coming in contact with me, I want them to slow down. I want them to be more conscious in their thought. I want them to be more present in what they're doing. I want them to be really, really mindful in decisions, in conversations, in relationships. And that takes me into my final sort of basic core belief is that lead with self-reflection. People need to become more mindful. They need to slow down. I you know, I encourage people to journal and to meditate, and I love your 3-minute meditations because I think, again, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to go on some Buddhist retreat for a week long. You don't have to go to the mountain. It doesn't require, I mean, for me, I live, you know, in rural northern Alberta. You know, I don't have access to, you know, an abundance of things. And yet there's so many supports out there that we can use in smaller tidbits or in the way we're leading. One of the books that I really recommend to people is called Mindful Leadership, and it's by Maria Gonzalez. And she really talks about bringing mindfulness into organizations and into leadership. And it's, you know, it's those building those thought-provoking conversations, bringing curiosity into what you do. It's slowing down and having that wonder and that questioning. Again, we're so driven. It's like, come on, hurry up, you know, make this decision, move forward, get the next thing done, tick the next thing off your to-do list, go to the next meeting. And it's like, whoa, you know, we're not making decisions with our intuition. We're not making guided, wise decisions based on all of the information we have. We're just moving as fast as we possibly can, and I don't believe that's the best way to lead. We need to slow down. I wrote an article once for the Social Work magazine here about journaling at work. And so, you know, yeah, one of the things that we do is you know, we run into these issues. How do I deal with this staff? How do I deal with this challenge or this problem or whatever's been presented in front of me? And if you just stop and take out a blank piece of paper and you write down at the top, you know, how do I deal with, you know, Cindy? And then you start writing. And you just spend 10 minutes writing. You'll be amazed at the answers that come through your journaling. And, you know, great, go ahead and shred that after. I mean, you probably don't want the world to see it. I wouldn't suggest leaving those kind of things laying around on your desk. Will they provide you with much wisdom? Absolutely. We have so much knowledge inside us. And, you know, you talked about the courage for me to do what I had to do. I think in leadership, we don't use our own knowledge and we're afraid to sort of say, I actually know the answers. We rely on other people all the time. And I think that we need to do a lot more of that leading with self-reflection.
I love that. And I like how you're pulling in, you know, small little activities, taking 3 deep breaths, recentering yourself, doing a little bit of stretching or yoga, taking yourself out for a walk, even that little writing exercise, what you were talking about. These are all like such practical, real, grounded, and simple, doable, practical ways that we can really change our relationship to the people around us, and even our ability to access that intuitive guidance, you know, gets us more centered and connected, Kathy. Like, I really like the how well-rounded your approach is. It really kind of covers everything. So is there anything that we didn't touch on, or any, you know, points that you'd like to share? We have a couple more minutes left before I transition us into the meditation. So we have time if there's anything that got overlooked.
You know, I think I want to come back to the women for a minute, because I spent a lot of my time working with women. And again, these four kind of ideas, they're great for men too. No doubt about it, and I think that they need to you know, look at themselves as well. But again, for women in leadership, we've spent so much time going, I have to stop feeling. I have to stop bringing my emotion into the workplace. And I've had women tell me that. I have to act like a man. And, I just,
oh, wow.
You know, I want to cry when I hear that. And I'm like, no. You have to be a woman. You have to be who you are. And when you do that, you'll bring so much into the world. You know, you look at many of the powerful women out there and the impact that they've had, you know, Arianna Huffington, Mother Teresa, Lenin, can't think of the lady from Facebook at the moment. But you know, there's this way in which they've learned to pull this inner guidance into their lives. They haven't done it by shutting down emotions. And do we need to learn to manage our emotions? Without a doubt. That's what Daniel Goleman talks about with emotional intelligence. We need to manage our emotions, but we don't need to shut our emotions down. We don't need to disconnect from what we're feeling. But rather, we need to use what we're feeling as a guide, as that inner wisdom to things. You know, when I'm tight and tight as a ball and you know, ready to scream, it probably tells me that I'm not, you know, following my passion and I'm not on the right path. I haven't done something to take care of myself. I haven't, you know, taken a break and done some of that renewal stuff. But it doesn't mean shut it off, Kathy, and keep moving forward. When the tears arise, you know, in my heart, and I'm trying to, you know, keep them from flowing out of my eyes, you know, maybe I do need to, maybe it's not necessarily the right place to cry, but that doesn't mean it's not the right place to bring in my heart and whatever's, you know, acknowledge the pain that I see in someone else or acknowledge how it's impacting me. And so I think that women need to really look at how am I trying to stop being who I am, and how do I need to reconnect with who I am and use that more.
Really awesome. What a great way to kind of tie it together. And you've given me some great kind of ideas of where to tuck us into the meditation. So let's go ahead and do that part right now. For everybody listening, I always kind of, before I close out the show, we always just participate together in 3 minutes of, you know, just kind of guide us through a meditation. So, Kathy, you're welcome to participate. Anybody listening in, if you want to take a moment and just kind of get your body in a comfortable position, sitting up, laying down, whatever feels comfortable for you. And just let your body find a place of relaxation and stillness. If there's any residual tension you're feeling, just notice that it's seeping right out of your body. Just melting out of every cell, every muscle, leaving you feeling refreshed and relaxed right now. And as you settle into that place of relaxation and stillness, I invite you to open the place inside of you where your highest wisdom resides. It may be in your gut, like that feeling when you get intuitive guidance. It could be a feeling of warmth in your heart. Whatever it is for you, I invite you to connect in and tuck into how it feels when you know you are in sync and in flow with the guidance of your highest source. And just breathe in right now. Just breathe and anchor in that feeling of knowing that you can at any moment touch into this space. And I invite you to bring a question, or maybe just kind of an open request for guidance or reassurance that you're on the right path. Whatever's there for you, just take a moment and bring your question or whatever's there for you into that space. Just breathing easily and gently, bringing that question into that inner space of highest guidance. And just see if there's a response, maybe a little indicator or a light or an aha that's coming to you right now. Just remain open. If there is any guidance coming, let yourself feel open and willing to hear. Staying relaxed, open, and curious. And just see if there's any guidance that came to you, maybe an aha or a next step, or maybe there wasn't anything, and that's perfectly fine too. What we're doing is exercising that muscle to get in touch with that place of highest guidance and wisdom within. So let yourself just take another breath or two, feeling what it feels like to be anchored to that place, that center of highest wisdom. Gently breathing in, and releasing the breath whenever you're ready. And then you can gently return your attention into the room that you're in right now. And so that's it, just something simple, just kind of a little starting point to get you to know what it feels like to be tucked into and accessed to that intuitive voice of wisdom. You know, you can take that with you, try it a couple times later throughout the day, sit with it a little longer if that feels right, whatever serves you in your greater purpose. So, Kathy, I so appreciate our connection and just thank you so much for sharing your wisdom here with everybody listening in and being just so open in sharing your story too. I so appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you, Dina, for the work you do. I think that those 3 minutes can make the world of difference for people who are open to it.
Thank you. It's changed everything about my life, and I hope that it reaches everybody that it resonates with. Well, thank you so much. And for everybody listening in, just a reminder about Kathy's website, if you want to learn more about her and her work, it's silverrivercoaching.com. And you can find me at madlychasingpeace.com. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye for now.